Is it unholy to pray or to serve or to obey if you're looking to get something out of it for yourself? Is that an unholy, unchristian, unnoble kind of way of thinking? That if you do your duty for the Lord, that you should do it without expecting that you'd get anything back in return? Is that actually an unchristian thing to think, or is that a Christian thing to think? I think that there's a lot of thinking that says that in whatever you do for the Lord, you should do it without any expectation of any benefit for yourself in return. That I think that the picture that we have of what it means to serve and to minister and to give of ourselves and to pray and obey is that we do everything all for the sake of the other and for the glory of God and not expect anything in return. We don't need anything to come back to us. It's not about us. We wanted to make it about God. And that is a thinking. Well, what do you do with a passage where Jesus says that the Father will reward you? Well, what is reward? Isn't that my benefit? Isn't that my blessing? Isn't that something that comes back to me? In this sermon itself, we're in the Sermon on the Mount, which is from chapters 5 through 7. Jesus is giving a sermon, and in this one sermon, we have numerous references to reward. Jesus uses the word reward. You will be rewarded. In verse 5:46, in 6:1, in 6:2, 6:5, 6:16, you will be rewarded. The Father will reward you. When you pray, you will be rewarded. So what do you do now? Is it Christian or not to do and serve the Lord with expectation of benefit to yourself or not? I think the answer actually is that Jesus is saying yes. Yes, that when you do obey and when you do serve, when you pray, when you fast, that you do so with reward in mind. Wow. Maybe that is a novel thing. Is that novel to you? Is that conflicting to you? Does part of you kind of want to, like, well, wait a minute, whoa. Doesn't that make it about me? Isn't it about God? Shouldn't it all be about God? Or how can any of this come back to me? If it comes back to me, then how can it be about God? So is there a tension there? Maybe there is. Maybe you've grown up in churches that really emphasize the, you know, just lay it out for God and just burn yourself out for God and just go out in a blaze of glory for God. And whatever happens, happens. Don't just, you know, don't think about, you know, they won't say don't think about yourself. But in a sense, maybe that's the thinking. It's all, you know, just go out and do everything for God. And there's not much taught that says that when you do go and serve and fast and witness and pray and bless others and love your enemies, that you will be blessed. You know, when you hear teaching, where does the weight go? You know, I think a lot of the weight goes to, you know, burn out for God and don't expect anything back for yourself. Just burn out for God, burn out for God. And maybe you might be blessed, but burn out for God. That's part of my experience, part of what my perspective in church life was about. And I cannot help but think that Jesus wants us to balance that a little bit more. I mean, this whole sermon began with blessed, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed. What's blessing? That's your joy. That's your happiness. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed. That's my reward. So how can we put those together? How can we put together that God wants us to discipline ourselves, to practice disciplines of prayer and fasting and serving, and balance that with my benefit, my joy, my blessing? Can we find a tension there? There is a tension there. But how do we build a bridge between those two? Is there a bridge to build? Jesus is saying, yes, there is a bridge. Fast and you'll reward yourself. You will get rewarded from the Father. How does that happen? And we see the tension with the Pharisees themselves, right? So here are the main points. The main points of this message is that, number one, fasting is pursuing a reward. Yeah, I said it. You can pursue a reward when you fast. And two, fasting prepares you to receive your reward. Wow. I don't know how you've thought about fasting before, but when I say fasting, what do you see? Do you see, oh, I mean, does even the word fasting make you tired? Does it exasperate you? Does it get you hungry all of a sudden? Are you thinking about lunch already? I mean, right? When you think fasting, you see like people walking around in gloomy faces, just fasting for the Lord, tired for the Lord, gloomy. And you put on, you got this kind of weightiness about you. Everything's heavy. Your clothes are heavy. Your hair is heavy. Everything's heavy. Everything's just weighty. And here Jesus is saying, fasting and reward. You see the difference? I think Jesus is saying that fasting is for those who want to be rewarded. Fasting is for those who want to be blessed, who want to experience joy, who want to experience happiness. So there might be a little adjustment we have to make about our concept of fasting. And the Pharisees were way off. Because what Jesus says in verse 16, they were pursuing a reward too, but it was all the wrong reward and it went all the wrong direction. Because what the Pharisees would do is they would disfigure their faces. I mean, literally, they would put makeup on. They would get makeup and make their face look dark and ashen. And they would use ashes, right? Sackcloth and ashes. And they would mess their hair up, look on, look disheveled and walk around. Hoping that other people would say, wow, how miserable you are. You must be more holy than me. That's what they were going for. That was their reward, okay? Now, that's not too far and disconnected from what I think a common perception of fasting is about. Where, okay, yes, God, I'm going to make myself miserable for you. I'm going to make myself gloomy and depressed for you. Okay, Jesus is saying wrong mentality. Change mentality to not, I'm going to be miserable for you, but I'm going to anticipate reward and blessing from you when I fast. Change there. So the wrong reward, I'll give you four. Four wrong rewards. One, to impress other people, like the Pharisees. There's a story of a man in India, and some tourists went to India, and they came across this man who was sitting on the floor, and he was surrounded in ashes and sackcloth. He was a holy Hindu man. And then these tourists came up and said, can we take your picture, holy man? And to which the holy man replied, wait just a minute, let me rearrange my ashes. Rearrange your ashes? Why? To give an impression that you're more holy than you really are. You're trying to create an impression for the picture, for the show. It's not to give the impression. So It's not impressing others. Number two, we don't fast to feel sorry for ourselves. Again, the Pharisees did that. They did this to their faces so people would say, "Oh." And they would walk around thinking, "Oh, whoa, I'm more miserable. I'm a martyr for the Lord, you know, poor me." Fasting is not moping around and feeling sorry for yourself. That is not what it's about. You know, sometimes what we call those times that we spend in the Word and in prayer? Sometimes we call them quiet times. Now, for some of you, you might hear quiet time and think, "Oh, to be still with God." But others of you who are parents, perhaps, might think quiet time equals time out. You know, it's punishment. I got to confine myself in my quiet time. You know, sometimes words like that can convey a certain impression. Oh, for us, we got to do our quiet time. Well, that's not what it's about. It's not feeling sorry for you. Fasting is not for losers who live in Loserville and just want to stay in Loserville and be the mayor of Loserville. It's not for people who feel sorry for themselves. Number three, fasting is not payback for God, where the mentality is, "God, you've done so much for me, and you suffered so much for me on the cross, so I'm going to suffer for you in fasting." Payback for God. That's not what fasting is. And in fact, that is evil. To think of the cross as something you have to then pay back for. You can't pay back for the cross. Number four, and this might be tricky, but we'll look at the scripture that talks about this. Number four, fasting is not for using others for your own benefit. Here's how that works. You fast, you portray to other people you're more holy than you really are, and you come off kind of self-righteous. And when you're self-righteous because you fasted a lot, then you can start demanding things from other people to honor your self-righteousness. Because now that you're self-righteous, you've earned something from other people. They owe you somehow. Turn, if you will, we're going to stay here, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 3. Verses 3 to 5, it talks about how people in Israel used fasting as a way to get self-righteous and then use other people. Isaiah 58, verses 3 to 5. I want to ask Nora if you would read that for us. 3 to 5. See? So, what were they doing? They were fasting, and out of their fasting, they then exploited their employees for themselves. And then their fasting made them self-righteous and demanding of others and quarreling with others and fighting with others. So the more they fasted, the more they got self-righteous, the more they got self-righteous, the more they got rude and demanding from other people and started to see other people as resources for themselves rather than as people to love. Now, the Lord is saying, is this what you call a fast? You call this a fast? You think this is acceptable to me? So here we see the wrong rewards. So fasting is for people who seek reward, but not any of these rewards, because the problem with these rewards is that they find the source of their reward in the impressions of other people, or in themselves. The source is all wrong. The true source of reward is who? God, the Father. So that is where we have to find ourselves rooted in. How do we get our source right first? Let me tell you how I went wrong on this. Even in preparation for this sermon, this week there were a couple times, and this morning, I realized the temptation and the urge in me came up in me to try to give this message as a way to impress you. I realized that that was part of what was going on in me. I wanted to give a kind of sermon that you would say, good sermon. I realized that tension in me. I saw the urge in me. I saw that sin of pride in me. And what I then did with that was to go to the cross with that. And I experienced the grace of the Lord in washing my sin of pride away. And I experienced a joy that now brings me to this place where I am not here to impress you. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to give God's word for you and your benefit. So I stand here before you today having received a reward. Reward of a new heart, of grace that orients me now not to seek what you bring to me, but what I bring to you. And it is out of the power of the cross. That is how that was the best illustration I could think of to find out how do you get your source right. The source of your reward is at the cross. That is the source of our reward. That is the grace that comes from God into our brokenness and sin in ways that changes us to orient ourselves to bless others. That is the fast that the Lord is seeking. And I have to find my anchor in the cross for me to experience that. So I am thankful to God for His reward that allows me to even stand here and preach today. What's the right reward? The right reward that brings ourselves rooted in God and then can experience the reward from God. What is that right reward? I hope you still have Isaiah 58 because it's there. He continues on. Verse 6 and 7 says this, "Is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of this yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood?" You see something different? Here is people now oriented to bless others who are in need. We're moving in the right direction now. And then verses 8 and 9 is where it all is. Here now is the reward. When I orient myself towards other people and blessing others the way God has blessed me and now wants to bless others through me, then the reward. Verses 8 and 9. "Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and He will say, 'Here am I.'" That's the reward. That's the reward. So let's look at each of these elements. Number one, you'll get three rewards. Number one, your light will appear. Your light will appear. Your light will appear. So remember the contrast Jesus is making between the people of God and the Pharisees. He says, Pharisees, in 6:1 of Matthew, "Be careful that you do not show your righteousness before men so that they might be seen by others." But he says to the people of God in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so," what? "Shine before men that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." So Jesus is interested in letting your light so shine. How? Through your good works and deeds that can only be explained by others who have their needs met by you. Glory to God. That's how your light shines. And that is the reward that God brings into your life, where He works through your life, moving towards others in the strength of His Spirit, so that the glory of God will be on display. Think of Rosita's situation, and what you just described was how Rosita, in the midst of cancer, is letting her light so shine before nurses and doctors so that they see there's something going on in this room. Glory to God. Glory to God. We pray that that continues to bring salvation and healing. We pray for that. But that is what we mean when we see God allowing us to make an impact in the world around us. That's how God will reward us. Number two, your healing will appear. That is such a good word. Your healing will appear. Look at verses 11 and 12. Oh, just receive this from the Father, would you? The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called the repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. Restoration. Healing. What is the reward of the Father for those who fast? Are that you will receive healing, the repair of your broken walls. Is there a person in this room who doesn't have brokenness in their life? Not one. Be rewarded by the healing of the Father in your brokenness as you fast. Number three, your God will appear. So your light will appear, your healing will appear, your God will appear. Look at verse 9. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and He will say, what? Here am I. God will appear, and He will appear in the answering of your prayers. That's what it says. You will call, the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and He will say, I'm here. What a blessing. What a reward from the Father. As you pray, you'll begin to see some of those prayers being answered. You know those prayers. I have learned a little bit about fasting from my own mom, because this is not something that she broadcast to me. I just discovered it, that she fasts every Wednesday morning and just skips that meal for the purpose of fasting and praying to God. Mothers know certain things that they carry around with them that they don't share with other people. Burdens for their family, burdens for their children, burdens. You know what they are. Many of you, and it's the older that you get, it's almost the older that you get, that those burdens that you keep with yourself for lost family members, or for the provision of your children's marriages, those burdens that just grow over time, you grow those burdens, and the more those burdens grow, the more you have a secret place with God the Father. And I've seen that in my own mom, that she, over time, has had that secret place that she doesn't talk about, that she only brings to the Father. And she does that through fasting. All of us have those kinds of burdens. Everyone in this room does. And so the call is, be rewarded. I will answer you when you call. Oh, has my mom seen answers to her fasting and prayer? Yes. Yes. Part of the answer is me. Part of the answer is where I'm at. The benefit that I have received today to be able to stand before you is the benefit I have received because my Father in heaven has answered the call of my mother. And he has answered her prayer. Many of you can say the same thing. But the more that you pour out your heart before God and you do it in a way that says, I'm going to fast, I'm going to deprive myself of food, something good that I would normally do, I'm depriving that because what is even of greater importance to me is what God gives to me to sustain my life. And so I'm going to put that aside so that I might receive. And that leads us to this last point, very quickly. How does fasting prepare us to receive? And it is just that. It is when I deny myself of food, and all throughout the scriptures, the examples of fasting come related to food. You can hear different teachings that say you fast from the TV for a while and you fast from reading the paper for a while, and we should do that. But when it comes to biblical fasting, it has to do with food. And why is that? Because food is something so normal and so average. It's just mundane. It's earthy. It's part of our existence, part of our sustenance. We just eat. We don't think about it. It's just what we do to sustain ourselves. So when we consciously say, I'm going to take something that I would normally receive, and I'm going to put it aside, and I'm going to feel the hunger inside of me, and the hunger that I feel will always remind me of how God, and only what He can do, can sustain my life, and how His rewards can sustain my life. Jesus, when he was talking with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, his disciples went out, took a break, went to the local KFC to go get some lunch. And while he was there, he spent some time with the Samaritan woman and then brought her to a place where she recognized him as her Savior. She goes back to the village. The disciples come back with Kentucky Fried Chicken and say, here is lunch. Jesus says, I have a food that you do not understand. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me. It is a food that sustains your life. You ever been on a phone call late at night, maybe started at about 6 o'clock, and it's a phone call with a good friend, and you're in that conversation, and you're talking, and you're listening, and it's good. And before you know it, it's 10 o'clock. And you haven't had dinner. And you wonder, how is it that I went through 4 hours on the phone and didn't feel hungry? Why? Because there was a benefit you were receiving in this conversation with your friend that was feeding you. It's feeding you in a way that was sustaining you all the way until 10 o'clock at night. This is an analogy of what it is to be sustained in doing the will of God for the benefit of others, where you move towards needs, you see the Spirit of God moving through your life to meet the needs of other people in a way that you don't even realize you're hungry. The Father's reward will sustain your life. Get about it. Get about it. Oh, how I want to see you rewarded. How I want to see each one of you in this room receive the reward of the Father. Go about it. Fast and pray. Fast and pray. So focus on the grace that is found at the cross. If you do fast, do that. Before you do anything, put your focus on the cross. Start there. Start on the cross and then let everything flow from there, because the power and the grace for your life flows from the cross. And then from the cross, you realize what led Jesus to that cross were my transgressions, my sins. And so the next place to go is confess your sins. Just confess your sins. These are the things that brought Jesus to the cross. These are the things that keep His Spirit from working through my life. So I'm going to confess these things to you. Father, here are the ways that I have shown my pride. Here are the things that I have said that I wish I could take back, but I can't. Father, these are the ways that I should have loved and I didn't. These are the things that I should have forgiven and I haven't. I unleashed in anger and I shouldn't have. And all of these things, all of what I have done is why you are on the cross. Confess and then receive. Receive the forgiveness and the grace of God that comes into your life powerfully in a way that transforms you to be able to convey that grace to other people. That's it. Confess sin with a focus on grace. Here, I want to make sure you understand this. When you are confessing sin, where is your focus? On the cross. We don't confess sin with our focus on our sin. Sometimes we can get stuck right there, and it's very bad, very bad. God is not looking for you to get so focused on your sin that you get miserable, and that's that other kind of fasting. You walk around ashen, disfigured, mopey, depressed. Because why? You're going deep within. Calvin said, no Christian should ever look deep within unless they have the cross before them. You have no right to look deep within unless you have the cross before you. Because if you don't, you're hopeless. You're hopeless. If all you have is your heart without the cross, without grace, don't go there. Confess your sin with the blazing glory of the cross before you. And let the power of the cross transform your life. Redeem your life. Orient your life towards other people the way Jesus died for you. That's the power of the cross. So confess sin, anticipating the reward of the power of the cross to work in your life deeply, powerfully, transforming you. Then you'll find your joy. Then you'll find your joy. And I'll just close with this one thought. The only folks in the world who have the right to be fully joyful are Christians. Do you know why? Because no one in the world has been as forgiven in the world as Christians. And therefore, you have every right to be joyful in the Lord. Because you have been forgiven. You have been accepted. You are adopted. You can call upon the living, holy God, Abba. That is only because of His grace for you. Fasting is a picture of how you have received the grace of salvation in your life. Fasting is just a picture of how you became a Christian at all. Jesus died. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. He died on the cross so you could have eternal life. He died on the cross to be the perfection that you could never be. But the only way that you get in on that is to receive. You can believe all of that is true about the cross, but it's not yours until you receive. And that is what fasting does. It gives you a place, an openness in your life. I'm not going to eat because I want you. I'm going to receive you. That's fasting. So I hope you have a different picture of fasting. Reward. Reward of the Father. Find your source in Him at the cross and let it happen. Let it all happen. That's where it starts. Okay? Let's pray.